is simply a marvelous Thanksgiving anthem. Very briefly from the Gospel, the Kenots have captured my imagination this week. Verse 24, Matthew 6. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Ye cannot serve two masters. This comes like an uncompromising warning. It would be profitable for us to study the Gospels and to see what we can and we cannot do. Hence my theme, the cannots, the moral and the spiritual impossibility of the Gospel. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon is an ugly word, but it covers all the angles of worldliness, the display of pride, possessions, arrogance, pride of the mind, seductions, the things that men and women are sorely tempted with. E.T. Watts, an artist, pictured mammon, and he could tell stories with his art. A huge, ugly creature with brutal eyes sitting upon a throne, his hand upon a woman's neck, his foot upon the body of a man, squeezing, degrading, pushing them down. Mammon is not just the money we think about. It is the spirit, the greed, the covetousness, the fascination that leads one to enslavement. A man, of course, can have money and have a place in his life for God. He can be conscious of his stewardship. Stewardship is the key word in the religious sphere. He can take great pains as to how he spends his money. He can also take great pains as to how he gives his money. Gracious in a freely sharing way. Jesus said and knew that things lead to acquisition, sometimes caused extravagance or luxury or loud display, and the sense of building one into a place where he becomes his own master. Strangely, on the other hand, to what it leads to, such as meanness, as hoarding, as miserliness. On the other hand, a man can have no money and yet harbor in his heart a great love for it. It holds first place in his heart. He has not been lucky enough to get a lot of it. But there is no spiritual difference here. The rich are the haves who make money their gods, and the poor and the have-nots who do the very same thing. That's why men are disappointed in revolutions. They feel that revolutions will bring riches to every citizen and every individual, which is not true. But no man can travel two directions at one time. A man cannot set himself upon things, better things, bigger things than his neighbor, and at the same time have a place for God, generosity, sacrifice, self-denial. A man cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. Jesus said another thing. If a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. This is another vital cannot in the gospel. This comes from the authority of the Bible. Abraham Lincoln had the idea when he said about our nation, it would be impossible for half of the nation to be free and half of the nation to be slaves. A nation divided against itself cannot stand. The divisions between labor and management, the employed and the unemployed, today might be more of a spiritual and a moral problem. Those who are in work and those who are out of work. The house that is divided cannot stand. On the battle day of Trafalgar, Lord Nelson called a conference on the flagship, and he asked for each man to come from his ship to this ship for a conference. He asked the admiral from the Collingwood, where is the officer in charge? And the man he was speaking to said, we are not on good terms. Not on good terms, said Nelson. Not on good terms, he said. You send for the admiral. And so he sent a boat. And when the admiral arrived on the flagship, and he had him standing, he said, do you not see on the horizon the fleet of the French, the Spanish? This enemy, gentlemen, is our enemy. This is our enemy. Shake hands like gentlemen. And he commanded the admiral to shake hands. He did not want to risk a division among his captains even. He knew it would impair his victory over France. A nation divided cannot stand. A family that is divided cannot stand. It only means sad suffering, sad frustrations, sad unhappiness. Thank God marriage is still on. I still have people come to me who want to get married. And thank God they are still taking into partnership the trust, the love, the forbearance, one another. A church divided cannot stand. When a membership divides itself, it cannot stand. the moral, the spiritual principle will defeat. No matter who or what. Jesus said, you cannot serve God and mammon. You cannot have a house that stands when it's divided. And now, I want to bring you another cannot that was spoken by his enemies. The most moral impossibility was spoken by the enemies of Christ, our Lord. Jesus was hanging on a cross, and his enemies said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. That is one of the greatest cannots ever entered in the Bible. They laughed. They thought it was a good joke. Here is the Son of God. He saved lepers. He saved sinful people. But here he lingers on a cross. And himself he cannot save. Whether they knew it or not, at the foot of the cross, they described a moral impossibility. If he had come down from that cross, William Booth said, no, it was because Jesus stayed on the cross that he can save. This is why I know that he is my Savior. That he stayed on the cross. Calvary's cross is no performance, no theatrical display. And Jesus was determined to stay to the bitter end on the cross. And all of us, my friends, whether we know it or not, if we are going to save and help anyone else, we cannot save ourselves. There is no way I can give my life and help to other people and save myself. And the enemies on the cross were speaking a moral and a spiritual impossibility. The Greek doctor in Edinburgh, who some time ago had a very sick patient to come in, and he immediately gave him mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. He revived the man. He saved the man. But he lost his own life. Because in the saving of the man, he contracted acute hepatitis, which took his life in a short time. He saved the patient. But himself he could not save. If I could get this down on the ordinary level today, you can never help a mourning widow and save yourself. You can never help a deserted wife. You can never help a lonely soul in this world. and come away without being spiritually drained. The giving of yourself, the sympathy you offer, the comfort you give, there is no possibility of a man saving others. He cannot save himself. No wonder in that crowd that day when our Lord was thronged by people, a little woman who had had a hemorrhage going on in her body for years reached out and touched just the hem of his garment. And no wonder our Lord said, there has gone some virtue out of me. So with us, when we give, some vitality flows from us. In the Song of Solomon, I am intrigued with the story. I am black. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me to be the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. That story opens up something that says, here is someone who is toiling in the hot sun, someone who is laboring in the vineyard for others, but whose own vineyard they cannot save. Often there is a lonely chair somewhere, and all that individual needs is the commitment of somebody who is willing, whether it's a friend or whether it's a relative, to give some steadfast encouragement, to give some trusted word, as someone just to come and give themselves. I hope I'm getting this down where we can see it in our ordinary lives. You cannot save yourself and save them. It's a price that you have to pay. It's like the man whose wife is ill. He gives up his garden. He gives up his golf. He gives up his fishing. He gives it all up just to sit with her, be at her side morning, noon, and night. And how wonderful when wives have husbands who are infirmed in some way, who just sit and talk hour after hour. And their trays are so neat and so tidy. And the smile on their faces so encouraging. You go into a situation like that, you come away drained. Somebody is giving. The great principle that Jesus spoke of, you cannot serve God in mammon. You cannot have a house that will stand when it's divided. And the enemies on the cross said, you cannot save yourself and be able to save others. They didn't think they honored him, but they did when they said that. A tree cannot bring forth good fruit hurts, and that's it's good. I hope we know the moral, the spiritual impossibility. You cannot. Oh, no one likes to fail. No one likes to be disappointed. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see and enter the kingdom." Bob Hamlin, the vice president of our home mission board, was saved when he was 12, led to Christ by his sister, who read the Bible to him, who was called to preach when he was 17, and who preached his first sermon, and when he preached his first sermon, his own daddy came forward down the aisle and said, "Son, today, all of my life I have been striving to be good enough to get into heaven. But I have come to realize through your sermon today that I can never be good enough to get into heaven on my own." Jesus said to Nicodemus, "You cannot enter the kingdom without the spiritual birth." We're going to give an invitation just now, and we're going to invite anyone who has never yielded his or her life to Jesus Christ to come and do so. I would urge you on the first stanza of the invitation this morning to just step right out from wherever you are and come and tell God what's in your heart. Because all you cannot be good enough, you know, to get into heaven on your own. That's one of the cannots in the Word of God. But if you will trust in Him, give your life to Him, He can and will give you that place you desire in heaven. So, why not quit working on your own and begin trusting in Him? For you see, if Jesus was going to save Himself, He would have left the cross. But because He stayed, He could not save Himself. But because He stayed, He can save you. If you have a decision that needs to be made today, in some way, spiritually or morally, there are a lot of impossibilities, but you can be saved through Him. And we're going to sing now hymn number 189. I'll live for Him. And as we sing this hymn, I trust that you will consider the decision and make it joyfully and quickly. Perhaps there is someone who needs a church home. You'd like to come and make this your home by letter or by statement. You just come. We'll fill out a card, write for your letter, and get it for you. God bless you. Whatever your decision, why do we stand and sing?
Many, many other hearts have been touched with the conviction ye cannot. Oh, many times we think we can on our own, but we cannot, Jesus said. Maybe there is someone else who needs to come today and make this your church home.